You're listening to audio from The Village Church. If you'd like to check out more resources or donate to this ministry, please visit tvcresources.net.
Good morning, Village Church. Good morning, good morning, and good morning to those who are joining us online as well. It is a wonderful privilege to share God's word with you all. And if you do have a copy of God's word, we're going to jump right into it. We are going to be in Ephesians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, make your way to Ephesians chapter 3. And if you have an electronic device, scroll your way to Ephesians chapter 3. That's where we'll spend our time this morning. Again, it's a wonderful privilege to share God's word with you all. We are going to dive right in. Before we do that, I am going to pray again. We're going to get some jitters out, and then we're also just going to ask the Spirit of God to meet with us in a powerful way this morning. So if you would, bow your heads with me, and let's seek the Lord to be with us. Father in heaven, we thank you that Jesus is our Lord and our King. We thank you that you are our God. And so we ask right now that the Spirit of the living God would come and minister to us in a way that we're not even aware of. That in the next few moments, you will do something in our hearts that will impact us and influence us, Lord, for the next days and weeks and months and maybe even the years to come. And so, Father, would you minister to us through your word? I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be in Ephesians 3. The verses that we'll be in this morning will be Ephesians 3, 7 through 13. But just so that we can get the whole context of where we're coming from with the sermon this morning, we're going to read this whole section for you. And so let me do that. If you have your Bible and you are there, say amen. 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 That's what I'm talking about. The Village Church. All right, let's do this. I'm going to start reading at verse 1. We'll go all the way through verse 13. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. And all God's people said, amen. 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 So that's God's word to us this morning. As we think about this passage, we are also thinking about something very unique. Our culture is enthralled with unveilings, These events publicly uncover an artist's long-concealed work for others to enjoy. And if you've ever been a part of an unveiling, it's quite moving. And when we think about unveilings, there's an aspect to it that the artist possesses. There's a sense in which the artist has his or her own personal experience with this piece of art that they have crafted. But then when the artwork is unveiled, there's a corporate participation and there's a corporate experience that happens when it's unveiled. We can only imagine that if you were at the National Mall when the Martin Luther King Jr. monument was unveiled and the sheet was pulled off the statue. Or perhaps in the state of New York when the Statue of Liberty was unveiled. Or maybe even the Sistine Chapel, Michelangelo's work that just so wonderfully covered the cathedral there. What an awesome thing that must have been. And I'm pretty sure people were amazed. I mean, just amazed. But beloved, when I read my Bible, I just cannot get over the fact that we have something so much greater being unveiled in the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so this mystery has been made known to us, the church. And it's astounding to consider. And so let's do that this morning together. Let's consider the mystery that has been revealed. And for those of you who are like me and you're a note taker, if you want to tag this with a sermon title, I've entitled it, The Mystery of God and Church Planting. The Mystery of God and Church Planting. At the center of God's plan for salvation is the local church. At the center of God's plan for salvation is the local church. Some of you are like, well, hold on, wait a minute. I thought Jesus was at the center of God's plan of salvation. Well, he is, but hold on. We're going to get into it. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? If you have turned and repented of sin, look to the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. Submitted your life to him by faith, trusting him to forgive you of all your wickedness, all your evil ways. You are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, then you are a part of this mystery called the local church. What God is doing is on a cosmic stage. What God is doing is on a stage that you and I oftentimes don't even consider. But we are a part of the mystery. If you just look back at verse 6, it reads this way. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. If that wasn't convincing enough, listen to this from chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Paul tells the church at Ephesus, he says, in him we, he's speaking of the church, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And therefore, through the gospel, beloved, we who are united to Christ are commissioned to take this mystery to others. That's we who are a part of the big church, the capital C, are included in localized little C churches, the village church. We have a responsibility to make a contribution to the whole of what God's church is doing in the world, to make known to those who need to know this Savior King. And through God's grace, Jesus is now our head and we are his body. Is that not true? Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says this, and he put all things under his feet and gave him, Jesus, gave him as head over all things to the what? The church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, this is amazing. In other words, grace is at the bottom of this whole thing. It could be argued that God's grace is the true mystery, right? However, it is God's grace that helps us understand that the church is at the center of God's plan for salvation. Okay, let's break it down a little bit. I'm going to give you 3 points. I'm a good preacher style here. I'm going to give you 3 points. All right, so the first point is this. God's grace makes us stewards. God's grace makes us stewards. God's grace The second point, God's grace makes us impartial. God's grace makes us impartial. And thirdly, God's grace makes us triumphant. So as this mystery unfolds, hang on to those 3 points. We're going to walk through them. So let's look at the first one. God's grace makes us stewards. If you look at verse 6, Paul starts off and he says, of this gospel, this good news, I was made a minister. Check that out. That's the same word that is used in verse 2 when he says, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace. This stewardship, this being a minister, is what Paul is getting at. And it's a beautiful thing because when you think about a steward, you think of someone who is caring for something that he or she does not own. We have been gifted and called to be ministers of this gospel of grace. And so when we think about what Paul is saying, we are looking at something that he did not reach out and grab. When we think about the gospel of John, John speaking to Nicodemus, he says to him, you know, how are we supposed to know, come to know God? We come to know God because it is given to us from heaven. I was meditating on that and I was thinking, okay, well, what is going on in this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus? Ultimately, he is saying that it is a revelation that is gifted to him for salvation. It is a revelation that is gifted to him as a stewardship. And so Paul says, I was made a minister by the revelation of God's good gift of grace, and he's going to be called to preach it. This is God's doing. I love this in verse 8 because he says, to me. Check that out. Hold up. Pause. Listen. He says, to me. This is the kind of pause you need as you read the scriptures because Paul has in mind who he was before the grace of this gospel touched his life. He says, to me. He was a murderer. He was all sorts of legalistic. He was taking the message that was to be salvation and a light to all the nations, and he was excluding a people. He showed partiality, but now that he's been given this grace, he says, to me, the very least of the saints. And so how do we consider that? That's his humility. And I love that. That as a steward, he not only knows that he's been gifted with this gospel of grace, he also knows that he must take a posture of humility. He says, to me, the least of the saints. I've been given this gift. I've been given this grace to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's been revealed. It's not something that we searched out and we found it. It wasn't like you got on a Google search and you said, oh, let me see how I can become one with God and united to a local people who believe him and love him and are about his work in the world. That's not how it works. The Spirit of God reveals this to you. Verse 8 says that he was given this grace to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable. You can't find this out on your own. This is a gift of the grace of God. This is revealed by the Spirit of God. I love this. What we do with our kids throughout the week, we do little catechism questions. We've been doing this for some time now. We've gotten into a good groove. And so our catechism question the week past was this. All right, where my kids at? Where my kids at? Real quick, I don't have a lot of time. Kids, where y'all at? Where y'all at? Where we at? Okay, I see some hands. I see my babies. Where the kids? Okay. All right, so catechism question. If you're in here, here's the question. How does the Holy Spirit bring us to salvation? How does the Holy Spirit bring us to salvation? That's the question. Here's the answer. He uses the Bible, which is the Word of God. All right, can we do that real quick? How does the Holy Spirit bring us to salvation? Here we go. He uses the Bible, which is the Word of God. That's it. And this is what Paul is saying. He understood that the Old Testament prophets, that they had a piece of the promise that was unveiled to them, so to speak. But now he's making the connection and he's saying Jesus is on the scene and the unsearchable riches that you couldn't find out on your own have now been revealed. We are made stewards by the grace of God. The second point, look at this in verse 9. He says, God's grace makes us impartial. Where do I see that? Look at verse 9. He says, and to bring to light for everyone, pause. Everyone. No one is excluded here. The gospel of grace, this mystery that we hold, it is a message that goes to everyone. So check this out. When we are out and about, whether we are at Walmart, people should be getting this gospel of grace. When we are at the gas station, the clerk should be getting this gospel of grace. When we are at the movie theater, Village Church, they should be getting the gospel of grace. Everyone, wherever we are, these people around us should be hearing of this good news, this mystery that has been revealed from hidden ages. Check that out. Hidden ages? We now possess the mystery, this unveiled truth that Christ is our God, that he is the one who has given us grace to take a message of reconciliation to the world. In chapter 2, Paul was going through this message of reconciliation. You could call it a double reconciliation. Here he says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And then he goes on to talk about how this mystery, this gospel of grace has united both Jew and Gentile into one new man, into the body of Christ, into the church. And then he goes on to say this was hidden for ages. Now, what's amazing about verse 9 is that he goes on and he says, who created all things? Now, I'm amazed at this because this basically, I had like Gustav Mahler's like Symphony 5 playing in my mind as I was studying this. It was like just so dramatic because he equates this God who reveals this hidden mystery for ages with the creator God. The God who spoke things into existence is now speaking into existence one new man in the church of Jesus Christ. And he says, we bring this to light for everyone. This is truly amazing. This is what God calls us to as his people. We are to take this grace into the world. God's grace makes us impartial. And so not only does God's grace make us impartial, but then it also makes us triumphant. At verse 10, we come to what Paul begins to talk about, that through the church, he gives a purpose clause. He says, so that, right? So he's going to go into the reason and the rationale for why God is doing what he's doing. Here it is. The church is at the center of God's plan for salvation. We are on front stage and center. No pun intended. Like, but we as the church, we are front and center to what God is doing. He says, through the manifold wisdom of God. I love that Paul wrote that through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, because he could have said, through the manifold love of God, through the manifold grace of God, but he didn't say those things. He didn't say, through the manifold compassion of God, through the manifold patience of God. He could have said all of those things. But he says, through the manifold wisdom of God. So many people are baffled by the fact that this is a revealed and an unveiled truth. But it is the wisdom of God to humanity. The scripture talks about in Acts that if those who were nailing our Lord Jesus to the cross would have known what they were doing, they would not have done it. But this is the manifold wisdom of God on display. And how awesome and how cool of our great God to bring just multi-ethni together. He's bringing people from different ethnicities, people from different cultural backgrounds, people from different financial backgrounds. He's doing all of that and bringing them into one body, the church.
And then as he does that, he not only is witnessing to the watching world, check this out, people of God. Check this out, Village Church, to our listeners. He is making this mystery known to the angelic beings. Isn't that amazing? Check that out. He says that this was now made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This message of reconciliation, this message of grace, he says that it's being made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. The Apostle Peter knew this as well. That's why he says that the angels, they long to peer into, to understand this manifold wisdom of God, to understand what he was doing. And he says that this is something that is being declared to even rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Do not take your calling to be a believer in the Church of Jesus Christ as a small thing. You are a witness to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. And then he goes on and says that this was according to the eternal purpose of God, which was realized in Jesus Christ. This is the witness of God, if you will. That the people of God, that we are never alone, that the Spirit of God has taken up residence within us. And it is the uniqueness of the church that is put on display for all to experience and see. This was in according with the eternal purpose of God. And then not only this, he says in verse 12, we have boldness. And we have access and confidence through our faith in Jesus. This idea of boldness here, this word basically is kind of like an outspokenness. You ever enter into a room and you see somebody who's the life of the party and they're just gabbing and just going and you're like, wow, how is this person like just so extroverted, so just extra? It's because they have something that they want to get off their chest. It's something that they just can't hold in. And Paul says, in the same way, we can be outspoken about this mystery. It's amazing to think about what God has called us to. The mystery of God and church planting. As we consider this, one of the things that's unique about the church is that we don't shy away from suffering. 2020 has been a crazy year, for sure. We've said it a number of times. We've considered it. We've tried to give space to ourselves to try to make some sense of what is going on. But here is the paradox of suffering and this idea of glory being manifest through our suffering. This is what Paul says. He says, I don't want you to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you. It's your glory. That's paradoxical. What are you saying, Paul? You're saying that through your suffering, it somehow works out for good? Yes. And we may not understand it, but yes. The Apostle Peter also knew this. He says, Christ sufferings. He says, but rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Your suffering is not your suffering alone, but it is the suffering of Christ. If you are in Christ, that's where the glory comes from. That in your suffering, you are manifesting more of who Jesus is to the world. It's this upside down idea of what we embody as believers. Paul's in prison. He literally is suffering. He's in prison. He is going to Ephesus and now he is a prisoner of Nero. And he is saying that this is not something to lose heart over. Any suffering that we could imagine, anything that we could conjure up is not comparable to the glory that we will experience after it's all said and done, beloved. What are you experiencing in 2020 that makes you shy from being involved in the local church, being an expression of this mystery of God? What is making you timid and causing you to shrink back from your boldness and your outspokenness about this mystery? Whatever it is, it shouldn't. We got to step out and let the Spirit of God use our witness to help others who are suffering and who are without hope find hope. Do not lose heart, Village Church. Do not lose heart, friends, because God is at work redeeming even your suffering. And so here's the big application at the end. This is the church planting joint. The church planting is just a little small microcosm of what God is doing. Did you know that God is the greatest and best church planter that there ever was or ever will be? He has planted the church of his son in humanity, and it has continued for generations and generations. And my brother Ethan and I, we just want to be a part of it. In the Village Church, I know y'all just want to be a part of it. And so how is God calling you this week to be more bold, more outspoken for who God has called you to be as a member of the local church? How is he doing it? Paul's life of modeling the stewardship and this impartiality and this triumph through grace, he models it where? In the context of the local church, the church of Ephesus. God calls us to be about church planting. God calls us, if not to be about church planting, to be about the work of the local church, for sure. And maybe God hasn't called you to necessarily be a part of a church plant. Maybe he has, but he has definitely called you to be engaged in your local church where you are. You can't get away from that. And how does God say he will manifest his wisdom to the world and to heavenly beings? Through the church. Through the church. Beloved, did you know that God has placed you here for such a time as this? To be a part of a local people, a local body that proclaims and confesses the name of Jesus Christ. He has called you here for such a time as this. To be a witness in the world of his double reconciliation. To let folks know that they can be reconciled from spiritual darkness, come into spiritual light and be reconciled to God, their heavenly Father. And then once they've done that, be reconciled to their neighbor. God has called us to this work. And so when we think about the unveiling is a wonderful thing. It truly is when we consider it. But just as I talked about those masterpieces that were unveiled in our history, It pales in comparison. It pales in comparison when I consider the greater way in which the gospel of Jesus Christ unveils the Savior to those in need of forgiveness and transformation in their lives. And by God's grace, we'll join with our Father. We'll join with our Lord Jesus to bring to light for everyone this truth, this mystery revealed of the riches found in Jesus Christ. The cross is unveiled. We need only point people there. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you have sent the Lord Jesus into the world, and that through his wonderful cross work, we have been forgiven. We have been called by your grace. Thank you for making us stewards. Thank you for giving us grace to live lives of impartiality. Thank you that your grace makes us triumphant, O God, bold, and even in the midst of suffering, Lord, you make us triumphant. This mystery revealed, Lord, we thank you that we're a part of it. And so now this week, Lord, we ask that your Spirit would move in us, Lord, and help us to be faithful to the mission. That we as your church would be bold in our witness, Lord, and that your name would be magnified through our lives so that others may come and know forgiveness, that they may come and know you, our King, the one who gives eternal life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.